Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There is a significant Latino community in our region, large enough that there is an Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We'll be talking about its role in promoting business and leadership among Hispanics in just a couple of moments. But first, the island of Cuba is only 90 miles from the Florida coast, but sometimes it feels as if it's much farther away. In terms of the relationship between our nation and Cuba over the last five decades, it is. Nonetheless, Cuba is not off limits to Americans. A small group of students from Southern Illinois University Edwardsville is just back from a 10-day visit to Cuba under an educational arrangement between SIUE and the University of Havana. Joining me to talk about the experience is Wendy Shaw, Associate Dean for Academic Programs and Faculty Development at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville. She accompanied four students on the trip, as did Larry LaFont, Associate Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. Roberto Sanz is a senior majoring in history at SIUE. He, of course, was on that trip. Roberto, it's nice to have you with us. Do you hear us loud and clear?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Good. Well, say hi, hello to Larry and Wendy.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hey, Larry. How are you doing?
Together again after 10 days in Cuba.
That's right.
Wendy, let me begin with you, and really the same question to all of you, but I'll start with you. What is the importance of a trip like this?
Well, I think it's a wonderful experience just going somewhere different for our students. And a couple of our students, at least, had never traveled out of the United States before. At least one of them had never been on an aircraft before. So that was wonderful in itself. But to go to Cuba, where the culture was so different, and to get a sense, even though the flight was only a 45-minute flight, it's like stepping into a whole different world for our students. And it's just this huge cascade of difference and information that I think was just so beneficial to them.
Well, Larry, you can go a lot of places and meet the same criteria that Wendy just mentioned.
Right, and we do take students to quite a few different places, and the college has travel study programs that go many different places. But this was a unique trip, and it was a very special trip. It was one that was special for me personally, in that I had been to Cuba many years ago, 20 years ago, and in Guantanamo Bay, not quite the same experience, a quite different experience. But I was there at the time of the rafter crisis or the refugee crisis, mm-hmm. and got to meet Cubans that were at that time fleeing. And so it was a very interesting experience going back personally to see and to hear about that experience from the side of those who were in Havana. And to be able to take students to have this kind of a rich cultural experience was a great thing.
Well, let's turn now to Roberto, who is representing the students on that trip. Your ideas about the importance of such a visit, Roberto, and why did you want to go?
Well, for myself, I've done other travel studies, all in Europe. But to go to Cuba, it was I felt like this would be one of the only opportunities that I'll have maybe in the next, 10 or so years while, relations are still very edgy between the United States and Cuba. And I never thought that I would have that opportunity to really see some of the beautiful buildings and the landscape and just interact with the culture. And for me, that was that was just the most interesting part, just to talk to the everyday people. And that's what I really wanted to do.
Did you sense any of the edginess that you mentioned in talking to people and in moving around?
Not too often. There was kind of a language barrier, so I'm not certain if they were either trying to find the right words or if they were trying to find the right way to, the politically correct way to say some things. But it seems that a lot of the Cubans were very free to say if they objected with what the government, some of the government policies, or, this isn't working in the government. And one of the economists that we met with in the University of Havana was saying that even Raul Castro made a speech where we can't, that we need to make dialogue between people and to disagree And that's the only way that we're going to move forward, if we have dialogue and conclusion that best works, not just, you know, one-sidedness. So.
Did you have many political discussions?
Few political discussions, mostly with our teachers and the tour guide somewhat. But every kind of interaction, there was a little bit of political discussion, but mostly I just wanted to see what their everyday lives were and like what they would do every day, how different it was from even a European or a U.S. Lifestyle.
You had the feeling that these discussions were frank, open, honest?
Yes, yes. It didn't seem like there was too much pressure for them to, you know, say what the government thought. They were, really felt like they were saying what, a lot of the time, what they thought.
Well, let me come back into the studio here and get thoughts from Wendy and Larry. Your take on this, and were you concerned as an advisor accompanying these four students about such discussions?
You know, before we left for the trip, I didn't know what to expect, frankly, and I don't think our students did either. But when we were there, I was quite surprised at the openness of the people to discuss in many things. As Roberto just mentioned, our guide, who was very knowledgeable, he would openly discuss politics. He would talk about the fact that this was a mistake of the government in Cuba and that the government acknowledged this was not the best way to go. And so as we spent the first couple of days, we were a little bit tentative about what we could talk about, and even tentative about could we take pictures here, or were we going to be kind of moved through and only being allowed to see certain things. But it quickly became very apparent that that was just not the case. We were free to go out by ourselves in the evening, to walk on the street, to talk to people. We never, I felt, had any kind of constraints like that, which was a real surprise to me. It was not what I expected.
When you say that your interpreter said that this was a mistake, what was he referring to? The relationship between the two countries?
No, he was talking more about internal policies. And so there was no sense that they were not able to criticize the policies that had gone on in the last 10 years. And there's been, you know, certain changes in how the Cuban government has approached the economy. For instance, at one point, the U.S. dollar was illegal to own, and that's no longer the case. And so they were very frank in saying, you know, this did not work. The government has said, yes, it was a mistake, and we're going to correct our mistake. And so that was surprising to me. I thought that they would say, no, you know, we did everything perfectly as regards our economy and regards to the political landscape, and it was all outside influence that made us have these problems. But I didn't find that. And so the dialogue then became more open between our students and the guide and other people.
Larry LaFond, was this a different experience this time as opposed to the last time you were there with regard to these kinds of conversations?
Well, again, the major difference last time is that I wasn't in the real Cuba. I was in Guantanamo.
Just in Guantanamo.
I was in Guantanamo Bay as part of assistance unit for the folks. So I did get to speak to the folks directly, the people who were fleeing at that time. So it's a very different experience in that regard, yeah.
Did you talk at all about what's going on at Guantanamo today?
We did have some conversations about that, although not so much about what people associate with Guantanamo today, but just simply the continued presence of a U.S. naval base on the island and whether that is an appropriate thing. Of course, the Cuban government disagrees that should still be there. And even though the U.S. government sends lease payments each year, those checks are not cashed. And there are many folks there that I believe would say that the island should not be having that kind of continued U.S. presence.
I'll go back to Roberto now, and I'd like to get some sense from you, Roberto, about your interaction with students, people your own age. Give me kind of a sense of what that was like.
Well, I didn't get the chance too much to actually interact with other students. that were at the university. Mostly we converse with more of the older the faculty members. There wasn't very too much chance. Probably the younger people that we interacted with was probably like late 20s. So didn't really get a chance to interact too much with the students.
Was that a disappointment for you?
A little bit, yes, it was. I guess it was kind of a miscommunication with our with the organization that was planning our trip, Common Ground. Apparently, they were under the speculation that we couldn't have an opportunity to enter like a Cuban classroom or something like that. And once we were there in Cuba, Wendy was saying there was a lot more openness, and even our tour guides like, oh yeah, I've taken people to hospitals and elementary schools and high schools and college, you know, classrooms all the time. It's not that big of a deal. So that was kind of like that was something I was most excited for, but that I was kind of let down a little bit with the organization from the Common Ground group.
I'm a little surprised. I thought that that's what this was all about, basically, was this interaction between young people, kind of a people-to-people program.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. It was more like a... we got a chance more to talk to the university and the program there that they have that is trying to understand or understand the relationship, the U.S.-Cuban relationship and in Cuba as in a Cuban context.
I see. Larry, go ahead.
Don, let me just comment on that. So we did hope for those kinds of interactions, but that did not happen, as we said. This is part of an ongoing exchange that that Southern Illinois University has been having with University of Havana, but thus far it's largely been faculty to faculty or faculty exchanges. Bringing these students this time was a first, a positive movement that we saw towards that. We haven't really any expectation that that we're going to be able to host Cuban students, and we'd like to do that, but it doesn't look like that's going to be in the offing, at least for the near future.
Oh, well, that's another surprise, because I was under the impression that we were getting ready to welcome a group of 20 or so.
Well, I guess what I'm talking about is in a type of regularized exchange of students that would be, you know, that would allow their students to study here, our students to study there. Those are the kinds of relationships we have with other universities around the world, and we'd like to be able to have that relationship. But I think it's still slow in coming. Governments are going to need to continue to trust each other a little more for that.
But, Wendy, we are anticipating a group of students to coming here, aren't we?
I believe that that's in the planning stage, so hopefully that will play out. One thing I did wanted to say, though, we didn't get to go and meet with a group of Cuban students or anything of that nature, which I know Roberto was very interested in doing, but we interacted with quite a large number of people. We would be walking on the streets of Old Havana, and people would obviously recognize us for what we were, which is foreigners, and they would come up and talk to us. And we would talk to them. We talked to one gentleman, for instance, about the Cuban healthcare system. We talked to somebody who was a practicer of the Santeria religion. And so at every turn, really, we were talking to a variety of different people. And I found very interesting to talk to the folks on the street, honestly, that wasn't orchestrated at all. They would just start to talk to us. And so it wasn't a structured interaction with the Cuban students with our students, but we certainly had lots of interactions with the local people, which I found fascinating, actually.
I'll bet it was. I have to take a break now. You've just heard from Wendy Shaw. She's from SIU in Edwardsville and just back from a 10-day visit to Cuba, as is Larry LaFond, Associate Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. He's also just back from that trip. And joining us by phone from Florida is Roberto Sanz. He's a senior majoring in history at SIUE. Back to continue our conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to get into it, you can do so at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL On Air. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with representatives from SIU in Edwardsville, all of whom are just back from a 10-day trip to Cuba, where they were taking part in a program that they hope will lead to an exchange, a similar kind of exchange with Cuban students in this country. With me in studio is Wendy Shaw, Associate Dean for Academic Programs and Faculty Development. Roberto Sanz is joining us by phone. He is a senior at majoring in history at SIUE. He is in Fort Myers right now. Larry LaFond is Associate Dean for the College of Arts and Sciences. Let me go back to Roberto for just a moment. You are a history major, Roberto. What of historical significance most impressed you during this trip to Havana?
Probably the continued resistance, kind of like how Castro has built the revolution as an ongoing ideology, and that the revolution didn't end in 1959. It's a continuous project, and I think that's one of the things that kind of keeps like Cuban people moving forward and believing that they're in this ongoing ideology of, you know, revolution, and that, you know, every day is a revolution, that it's a nonviolent revolution, and people can from this this system.
Well, this country has implemented a number of sanctions against the Castro governments, Raul and Fidel. Did you sense any resentment about that, or see anything that would indicate that these sanctions are really working hardships on these people?
Yes, definitely. For the Cuban people, the embargo, they talk about it as a blockade, that it's an embargo kind of says, you know, we're not going to do trade with you. But with the U.S. embargo, it's trying to convince other nations around the world not to do any trade, and it penalizes them. So if a ship docks in a Cuban port, it cannot enter any U.S. For 3 months. So that's a very large deterrent for other businesses and companies to trade with Cuba while along a normal, or they call it a blockade, because it stops any, you know, willingness to trade. And there's a fair amount of foreign investment kind of going in through Cuba through a lot of Canadian companies and Chinese companies, and many of our closest allies like Canada and the United Kingdom have actually never broken any diplomatic ties with Cuba, even at our request, you know, to topple the Castro government and try to sanction them away.
Yeah, let me put the same notion to both Wendy and Larry. You sense any resentment during your contacts there?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe not so much resentment. I think the embargo or blockade, as Roberto referred to it, and as the Cubans refer to it, by the way, has unintended consequences. I think that it certainly it creates a hardship on the people of Cuba. The very simple things are very hard to get. Colgate toothpaste or any kind of toothpaste or shampoo or soap. We had people actually approach us on the street asking if we had soap. There are things that are there are clear consequences or clear hardships that it imposes on the people. But I think the unintended consequence is that it's allowed sort of a sustained struggle against capitalism. It's confirmed for many of the people and for the government that they're in the right battle, that they have a clear enemy.
Wendy, how about your take on that?
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with Larry on this. And we saw a strange mixture, I think, in Cuba between the need for entrepreneurship because people literally would not have enough to eat. They couldn't get the basics with the government wage. And so they were really being forced into being almost capitalistic and entrepreneurial. But still, the government has maintained some things that are very socialist in nature. And I can give you a little example I found fascinating, is that they have different car tags if you're a government vehicle than if you're a private vehicle, of which there are very few. And they had checkpoints where if you were a government vehicle and you had room in your car, you had to take hitchhikers. Mm. And there was somebody that triaged that whole process because there's a huge shortage of transportation, shortage of housing. And so I think that the embargo, as the Cubans refer to it, has consolidated the ideology, but at the same time forced them to take on some entrepreneurial and capitalistic elements.
Well, it's certainly a quality that those who make it to this country have captured and have proved to be very, very successful entrepreneurs in Florida and any place else that they've settled. We have a caller from Kirkwood. Let's bring in Pat, who wants to get into this conversation. Pat, thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you?
Great.
I actually have been to Cuba the last 2 years and went in early in January, where it's cold here and warm there. And I liked it so much the first year I went back, the second year to see even more. And I went with a group that was licensed by the government to do, by our government, to do people-to-people programs. And we saw lots of things. We got into private homes. We got into elementary schools, high schools, colleges. We learned to dance some of the native dances. We went to a Santeria area. We visited a senior citizen home. It was very, very interesting. And one of the things that we found, we kept trying to ask, the people asked about us, and we kept trying to get the Cuban people we were meeting with to ask us questions. And they were very reluctant. I think they were very shy, and they were not used to having the opportunity to ask questions and find out about the way things are done elsewhere. And it truly is a very interesting place to go visit because it is so very different from what we experience here.
Pat, thanks so much for that call. How long were you actually in country?
The first time I was there for a week, the second time for 15 days.
Uh-huh. Well,
and the second time we actually started in near Guantanamo Bay. We started in Santa Clara and Santiago, and we came back through Cienfuegos and Trinidad and back to several days in Havana.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that information with us. Nice
okay.
to have a chance to talk to you. Roberto, time is beginning to wind down for us, but I want to talk to you for a moment about this whole people-to-people notion that was just mentioned by Pat and of which you were a part. Do you have any sense that this will really make a difference, this kind of thing, the kind of trip that you are on, will really make a difference in solving the bigger problems between our two countries?
Oh, yes, I definitely do. I mean, I think that's, this is the first step to having more interaction, having more ability to have people come back and forth. Actually, while I was in the airport ready to leave to come back through Miami, because that's the one of the only airports where you can go through with Havana and Miami, I actually met a student that was from the from the Bay Area, and she's actually studying at the Latin American School of Medicine in Cuba. So she is one of the few students actually studying in Cuba full-time, and she says she gets to really, really, really live the lifestyle of the Cuban people. As a student, they even get the government stipend, And that was probably one of the most interesting interactions that I've had, was right before I left Cuba in the airport with that student that was studying medicine at the university.
Very quickly, Wendy and Larry, do you think that trips like this can make a difference?
I think it's maybe the only thing that will make the difference. One thing that showed us that the revolution has got cracks in it is a shop we went in and saw a George Foreman grill. I think as capitalism becomes something, the products of America become something that Cubans want, there will have to be changes.
Yeah. Wendy, a thought?
Yes, and I think it's only through individuals acting and communicating with each other that we're going to get these changes. And we have two different systems, very different systems, but I found such a connection with the Cuban people that I interacted with. I think this is what's going to make the difference.
I'm going to squeeze one more call in because I'm fascinated by what the subject appears to be. Linda in Edwardsville. It'll have to be quick, though, Linda.
Sure. The Arts and Issues series at SIU, it's a great series, and one of the shows was going to be a family of folk musicians from Cuba this spring, but we were disappointed they canceled out.
Yeah, it was not actually so much as them canceling as that there were some visa problems, and, you know, there will continue to be complications as we try to have these exchanges, but we'll do the best we can.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine, Carrie Houck, who is well-known in the arts and entertainment show business community in St. Louis, is heading to Cuba on Saturday. She's apparently been there before and had many connections with Cuban entertainers. She's associated with Webster University, which also has an arrangement with the University of Havana.
Right.
So the more, the merrier. I'm going to have to end it right there, folks. Roberto, do you want to put a cap on this for us?
I think it's going to be a amazing future in the next 10 or so years. I definitely believe we're going to see the relationship between Cuba and Havana and Cuba and the United States change immensely, and it'll be interesting to see how both governments react to it and how it's going to affect the Cuban people as a whole. So,
well, I'm going to have to end it there. Roberto Sanz, thank you so much for being with us. Nice talking to you. Enjoy your stay in Florida. Larry LaFond, great to have you with us, too. Nice to be with you. And Wendy Shaw, thank you so much for being with us. Coming up, a look at the business side of the region's Latino community. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.